Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin.
For King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Yeah, welcome back to hour two of the Saturday Sin Bin. Kenty, Gordy, Tallis, Hoops, Maroon. We do it thanks to our friends at King G from Cairns down to Townsville into the Whitsundays, Mackay, down to the Fraser Coast, Brisbane, Toowoomba, the Goldie, and then into the beautiful northern New South Wales, the North Coast, Moffs Harbour, Port Macquarie, Sydney, Newcastle, Gosford, down into the Riverina. And you might be listening onto the app. We've got people listening on the app today in Beijing, Manitoba, and also Culburra, which is on the New South Wales South Coast.
Can I just double check? Where's Manitoba, Anthony?
I believe it's somewhere in Canada.
Okay.
Paul, I mean, I'm Hoops, I'm no expert on these things.
Is that where Sasquatch was seen?
I think it might have been, yeah. Well, they're listening everywhere. Scandinavia.
Yep.
We've had listeners
in South Coast, Corrimal. Yeah.
If you're listening from Scandinavia, let us know.
Yeah, let us know what you think through Triple M Scandinavia. We'd love to hear from you. Look, we better not hold him up anymore. He's rugby league royalty and he's a member of the Triple M team. He joins us on the phone live from the Shire. Wade Graham, welcome to the Saturday Sin Bin.
G'day, Maroon, fellas. How you going?
Wade, the worst thing about this whole thing, Wade-o, is that me and you, all those corporate lunches we had booked in, and now they're not going ahead.
Oh, no, so disappointing, mate, so disappointing. We'll have to look to try and get them up and running as soon as possible once we're out of these protocols.
All right, well, make sure you don't injure yourself. Or maybe you should injure yourself, that I'll have more access to you for the lunches.
Well, that's how it kicked off the back of my ACL. I had found myself a lot of spare time and Maroon to the rescue.
Yeah, more of that, please, mate.
Listen, Wade, there's been a lot of talk this week, mate, about the players and the vaccine, and you're quite an important member of the RLPA. Where do you sit with this? I know you support the players. Is that right?
Yeah, I did. Listen, I got asked this question early in the week, and I hadn't really thought on it all too much because I didn't think it was going to be an issue, to be honest. You know, with the boys, with the religious side of things, boys, I'm going to be honest, I'm not too sure. My knowledge in that isn't great. So
I don't think anyone's is, mate, to be honest.
We had Stephen Curdy on before, Wade, and he said to his knowledge he wasn't aware that there was anything there.
Yeah, so I don't want to put my foot in it in that sense because I'm not too sure about that. But for me, with the guys, if it's their personal preference that they don't have the flu shots, for me, that's a no-brainer. If they were in my team, I'd be, you know, asking them to get the flu shot done. A lot of the time within the game, it's a team sport, right? So you do things that, you know, not your personal preference a lot of the time. And for me, this is a simple, get the shot done so your teammates can get to footy and get to playing. And a lot of people have worked hard to get us this position, to give us an opportunity. And for something as simple as this, for me, like I said before, it's a no-brainer. If it comes down to a personal preference, this is one of the times where you're going to have to probably go against your personal preference.
My understanding was the Players Association believed that the documents sent to government was still a work in progress. So the 100% guarantee that the NRL gave the government, the players were under the impression that that was still being negotiated. Is that fair to say?
I think that's fair to say. I think we've seen, at the start of the week where the one of the clubs actually, well, the NRL tried to change the waiver and they thought that would be enough, but it sort of come back that wasn't enough. And this is, for me, this was always, you know, a possible issue with trying to rush through the May 4 start date to get back to training. Like, my personal preference, like May 28 was always the goal to get back to playing, but if we could have sacrificed one more extra week of just training as a team just to work through all these issues, because there's a lot of moving parts with the government regulations, there's a lot of moving parts with the protocols and around training and whatnot. Even this week, today we're supposed to be allowed to get back to 13-on-13 training, but again, it got pushed back because the government regulations said no. So we had to train in groups of 10 or less. So I think we all could have saved ourselves a headache if we just let the boys train in them by themselves in isolation like they had been, and then getting back to the team environment hopefully on Monday after another week of progress.
Wade, we've seen this week, in the past couple of days, the Queensland Health Minister Stephen Miles, Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk, New South Wales Premier Gladys Berejiklian and the Federal Health Minister Dutton say that this is a no jab, no play policy. And there's certainly indications from government that they're getting fed up with the constant kickback from the NRL, particularly the players. The understanding is that the rugby league's fast running out of its favours that the government have been giving it to get back so early. How big a concern is that for the playing group?
Well, again, we sort of, you know, this isn't completely on the players that, you know, created this sort of
information. No, it's not. It's not.
The whole time, all the players were asking was for more time to get through, you know, to work through the information, because there's always hiccups with any plan. It's never going to be smooth sailing. Everything written down on paper always looks good on paper, but when you try and get it out into the real world and get it functioning, you always come across hiccups. And we sped through the protocols, you know, to try and get back to that May 4th date, so everyone was happy and we could keep progressing. And again, because of that, we're starting to cop some consequences. And for that, I don't think the players should be fully held accountable. I do agree that a lot of people have bent over backwards and worked really hard to get the game up and running, and us as a playing group need to try and repay that faith and do as much as we can to keep it as smooth as possible. But, you know, the hiccups are going to come along the line all the time when you try and, you know, rush into things.
In relation to this anti-vaxxing stance being taken by, we believe, roughly 20 players, some players have already gone to their clubs and said, look, no, give me the needle. But in relation to that stance, the next time you're on a call with the Players Association and the representatives from the clubs, the player representatives from the clubs, what are you going to say to them in relation to this?
Well, just what I just told you then. If it was someone in my team, personally, I'd be pulling them aside and finding out what the issue was. And now if it's an issue that, again, is something that I don't have great knowledge on, i.e. the religion sort of stuff, or then I'd probably, you know, I'd wait for clarification on that. But if it was just a pure personal preference, well, then I was going to say, it's a team sport, boys. It's not an individual sport. You need to do things sometimes that aren't in your comfort zone or are not in your best interests for, you know, for the greater good of the team. And that's what really good teams actually build on. So in this case, I think you need to not think about your own personal situation and you need to think about the rest of your playing group.
And if players refuse, after all that, still refuse to take it for whatever reason, do you think they should be stood down and the game moves on without them?
Well, I think they need to make that choice. If that's their choice, you're putting yourself into a corner there if you're not, you know, jumping on board. And I know for me, if I didn't like a flu jab, you know, if it puts my livelihood at risk, preventing me from, you know, making some money to feed my family, well, I'm getting the flu jab. It's simple in my eyes, but it depends how strong the players' convictions are on an individual level. If they want to sacrifice their rugby league game for, you know, their personal preference not to get a flu shot, well, that's their prerogative.
Well, already we've seen Martin Taupau change his position, and the same for Nathan Peets as well, Wade. Like, I think they realised, you know, initially they were pro-choice and they were saying, no, you know, we don't want to get the jab, and they had their reasons, and I think they've had flu shots previously that they'd had bad reactions to. So I can understand that. But then when it was spelled out in black and white that, you know, look, you're going to be stood down in the case of Nathan Peets, well, it became a pretty easy decision for him.
Yeah, well, in my eyes, it's an easy decision. But again, it comes down to that individual player, how strong their convictions are. If you want to jeopardise your rugby league career and playing rugby league over a flu jab, well, then that's up to you as an individual. Like, no one can make that choice for you. So there's, you know, if you're pro-choice about flu jabs, there's your choice right there, really.
Yeah.
But in, you know, in previous years, we're always offered the flu shot, right? Especially around this time of year, just to combat, you know, basic cold and flu in this time of year, the change of the weather, and they're not really a big issue. Some players have them, some players don't. It's never really been a big issue in the past. So I think just in the current climate, with how everything is, this is one time, boys, we, you know, just got to get it done.
And do the players realise too that they're not being singled out here? Like if you're a nurse, we spoke about this earlier, if you're a nurse and you work anywhere in the health industry, if you work in an aged care home, if you're a school teacher, you have to have the flu shot as part of your condition to going to work. It's not like rugby league players are being singled out here.
Yeah, again, I can only go off, you know, how it's been in the past. And in the past, it's been a non-issue, right? You can make that choice if you want to get it or you don't want to get it. It's up to you. And then if you get the flu down the track a couple of weeks later, well, you know, it's a silly decision by you, right? But I think just in this circumstance, in the current climate, like I said, for me, it's a no-brainer. If someone in our team seriously opposed it, I would have probably pulled him aside on that Monday and had a chat to him about how strong his convictions are and the reasoning behind it. And again, I don't want to sound all, it's a simple answer, because for me it's a simple answer, but the guys with the religion stuff and, you know, the other issues possibly with it, well, I think that needs to be worked on by a case-by-case basis.
Yeah, and obviously all the Sharks were happy to get their jab?
Yeah. Yeah, I think there was a couple of questions raised at the start, whether it was compulsory or not, and then we sort of came to the group conclusion that it's just get it done, because it's a part of the protocols, and wherever there was any grey area in the protocols, we thought when we were going through them all, we just erred on the side of caution. We got a couple of big characters, as you know, so we just wanted to make it as black and white as possible.
Mm. Oh, well, look, mate, I think you've handled it the right way. Look, when you're trying to do something as dramatic as what the NRL is trying to do, and as significant and as, with so much consequence to it, I think the simple answer and the black and white way is often the way to navigate your way through. We get held up in all these different, individual wants and needs and pro-choice and all this ridiculous argument. But I find it almost offensive that players want to exercise pro-choice to play a team game that puts their teammates at risk.
Yeah, again, and I don't want to, put this all on the players. This is always going to be a consequence of trying to rush through to that May 4 starting date. And, I know you came out pretty strongly last week, with all the pay dispute, and yes, pay was a part of the discussion, a big part of the discussion, but it was really broad. Mm. And these are the issues that we knew would arise if we rushed through without a fully understanding of what the protocols looked like and what the expectations were on the players. And it was hard to get certainty and clarity around it, because there were still moving parts. It took to the Friday and the Saturday of the weekend before May 4 for some teams even be granted permission to come into Australia. So it was just a tough situation with everyone trying to do their best. And, as a result of that, we have started up and running, but, there's been a few consequences that we're dealing with on the fly.
So, Wayne, how does the game rescue this then? How do the players, given the stumbles of the past few weeks, how do the players regroup and say, guys, will there be a discussion along these lines? Guys, we've lost some ground here in our public reputation. Let's try and go and get some ground back.
Well, I don't think we have lost some ground, Kenty. I think, to be fair, I think the players have done a great job. Most of the period we were down, of course, there was a few really big slip-ups, which was dumb on behalf of the players. But overall, in the challenging times and challenging situation, now every Zoom call I've got on with the leading players have all been productive. They've been long and tough sometimes and out of a lot of the players' wheelhouse, really, with what they've had to deal with in the past. But the players have stayed united and worked for any issues that, individuals or, in some cases, smaller groups have come across. And we finally, most times we've worked it through to a positive resolution. And the thing we had in our favour was time to work through it. We're trying to, again, rush through. We're rushing through everything to get to this point where we could all get back and train as a team. And these are the consequences for it. But the players have always been behind, behind the clubs and behind Peter Vlahidis. Of course, there's been a few disagreements and some issues to work through the whole process. But the players are going in the bat for the game as well to get it back up and running. And we can't wait to be playing on May 28th.
Right. So last question. May 28th comes. Between here and then, is there anything we should be concerned about?
Well, I hope not. Starting Monday, as far as we know, we're allowed to get back into pretty much full training and full contact, down at the Sharks. Everyone else is on the same page. Hopefully get 2.5 weeks of proper team-on-team training, and, you know, May 28th goes off like planned. Like that's ideal for everyone, the players, the clubs, the game, and I think the members and fans.
All right, Wade. Good on you, mate. Hey, listen, congratulations, another baby.
Yeah, well, I can hear my eldest actually crying through the window because I've been at training all morning. I've left him for the phone call.
Okay. Well, look, mate, all the best with the new one, and all the best with the family, all the best with training on Monday.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me. Have a good one.
Good on you. There he is, speaking a lot of sense too, Wade Graham, joining us on the Saturday Sin Bin. Thanks to King G with Hoops, with Kenny, with Gordon Tallis and Maroon. So he does make a lot of sense, doesn't he?
I tell you what, I'd like him to have a greater voice in the RLPA. I know he's widely regarded within there, and he's widely regarded by the NRL as one of the better people to deal with. But he's had it right from the very beginning. He's very mature the way he thinks, intelligent the way he thinks, and actually understands the wider implications of things.
Mm.
And I loved his attitude. He would have just pulled a player aside and said, "Listen, mate, if it had happened to the Sharks, this is what you're risking here." And I think that sort of leadership needs to happen at a few clubs.
Okay,
yeah, and then that's and Paul, you just hit it on the head. From now on, it's got to be player driven. It has to come from the players. It can't be coming from, you know, Villanis and, you know, a Clint Newton. The players, someone like a Cameron Smith, Wade Graham, they just got to get the boys and say, "Boys, this is what we're doing." It's simple as that.
Mm.
Don't give too many people a voice because it's going to confuse everything.
Yeah, but the problem with that, Gordon, is the smart people and the dumb people sit in the same room and all think they're smart people.
Mm.
So the dumb...
Like,
someone,
that's,
someone,
that's like this show.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. And you might not be aware of this, Gordon, but we have this conversation. Okay.
What are you looking at, Sats?
Look at that.
Mate, look at him. He's recovered, hasn't he? Look at him.
Maroon just loves it when you get a serve, Gordon.
Mate, what about those glasses you're wearing? Did you get them out of a show bag? I thought the Echo was cancelled this year.
They're just my little bifocal so I can read the rundown, mate.
They're
just like little... What are you, buy them at the servo? Or
yeah, no, they're lovely. Madam, they look great. Gordon Tallis, Hoops, Paul Kent and Maroon will take
it's
a break.
Coming from you.
We'll come back.
The grandmother of Tweety Bird.
We'll come back and we'll have an update on the poll, Maroon's poll, and we'll do I Call BS as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M, Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. We'll get an update on Maroon's poll very shortly, but right now let's have a little bit of fun, lighten things up a bit. It's time for this.
From the makers of The Earth is Flat and I'm Only Having One Beer comes I Call BS.
Yeah, let's stuff off your chest here. If you've got something you want to call BS on, you can. If you want to do it footy-related, you can. If you want to do something in your personal life, you can. Look, boys, I was driving in here today, coming down the beautiful Southern Cross Drive, when I heard Dead Set Legends, which is a great show, which has made its return back onto the Triple M network in Sydney specifically, with Wendell Saylor, Gus Wallen and Jude Bolton. When I heard Gus Wallen make this suggestion.
Is that a good idea to go back to one referee? And also, because the game's going to change so much, surely the points now have got to go back to zero.
So this is a bloke who is blatantly a Roosters supporter calling for the points to go back to zero. I mean, it's only Roosters supporters calling for this. Mm. And if I can be fair dinkum, I mean, if any team has the ability to overcome a 0-2 start, it's got to be the Roosters.
Well, I'll call BS on you, right, Anthony, because I've long thought the point should stand. But if they're going to change the competition now, where they're going to change the rules, where rather than a penalty, they're just going to waive six again, if they're going to have one referee instead of two, I think it's a legitimate argument.
Well, Triple A, look, the NRL.
I think it's ridiculous in a year that we are, this is my BS, in a year that we are trying to actually make this shortened competition as legitimate as we can.
Authentic.
As authentic. So there's no asterisks next to the Premier at the end of the year. In the year that we're trying to do that, why would you start bringing in Mickey Mouse rules?
I agree with that. But to say that players went out there for 80 minutes twice and the points count for nothing.
Well, that's why they shouldn't make these rule changes.
That is crazy, Paul.
They shouldn't make these rule changes for that reason. It's been amazing going through this whole period where all these people go, and it's happened in all walks of life, go, you know what, it's a real good chance to try a few things this year, and they come up with the stupidest suggestions.
Yeah,
and I'm not just talking about Apollo Committee and all that, and people who have a genuine connection to the game. It's everywhere, and some of these ideas are just ridiculous, and all they do is they undermine the integrity of the competition.
Okay. Do people and realize when the, there was one? Yeah, sorry, Paul.
Well, this is the year more than ever that they just need to make it as close to every previous season as possible.
Yep. I agree.
So therefore, the competition at the end of the year, we don't go, well, Penrith won the comp, but there's a big fat asterisk sitting on it because that's the year we played with the rules. We brought in the six again. We went down the one referee. We made them four-quarter games. We made it 60-minute games because kids don't have a long attention span anymore. Brought the sidelines in, got rid of the wingers. All these ideas that people are coming up with, I just don't know.
Okay, what I'll do is, boys, I'll get you to keep your powder dry on
they should start wearing helmets, Murray.
On the referee thing.
What do you think of that concept?
No, I used to like that idea, but I like the ice rink sides that I came up with last week. You hit the sideline, you bounce back in.
There is a case in point.
Would you like to call BS on anything, Gordon? And if you could leave the referee one, referee two, referee thing just off the agenda for now.
Yeah, we can talk about that later. Do you know what? I want to talk about coaches whinging about how much collision they can have at training, how much wrestling. The game, there's too much wrestling now. So that's what they're whinging because they can't control the speed of the play of the ball. The game's back. Let it go. And you know what? If there's less wrestling, if the players aren't as good at slowing down the play of the ball, I think we got a better product. And I know from firsthand, my last 3 years, I didn't do one bit of contact. Until the games, it doesn't hurt you. It
was that because of your neck injury?
Yeah. So seriously, like,
let me ask you this, Gordon.
It is that physical out there that you don't need to do it. Mate, you can do a couple of those hits on the pads. You know, 5 each shoulder, 10 each shoulder. That's all you need to get your timing.
Gordon, let me ask you this:
do you think clubs are obeying the restrictions that they're not allowed to wrestle right now?
No. Could you imagine Desi Hasler not making them
behind closed doors in the gym?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There has been a lot of talk about that, Anthony.
In rugby league, rules are made to be broken, and there wouldn't be a coach. I reckon there would be a coach that is not breaking them. And if they are, they're behind the eight ball.
What about you?
Fletch said last night that rugby league players that don't touch the paint players. There's a sign that says, don't touch the paint. They're going to go over and touch them.
Would you like to call...
a bit of Homer Simpson about the whole competition.
Would you like to call BS, Hoops?
I'd like to call BS, Anthony, on Penrith and the fact that they decided not to stand Nathan Cleary down out of the leadership group. Now, look, I know this whole TikTok fiasco thing is a little bit of a storm in a teacup and certainly by no means the crime of the century, but I think they're in a unique predicament here, the Panthers, where you got Ivan Cleary, who's the coach, and then Nathan, his son, who's one of the star players. And when he steps out of line, and as much as I know, look, a dancing video, as I say, is by no means the crime of the century. The reality is, given the current circumstances around the world, he broke the rules. And, you know, Penrith have essentially lashed him with a feather. There's been minimal punishment whatsoever. And I just reckon that it's setting a very dangerous precedent. And you can even go further to that. When all of this initially kicked off around coronavirus, COVID-19, and all the restrictions that were going to be put in place, I actually saw Ivan interviewed and he mentioned the fact that, you know, his family more than any other family, as much as any other family, had to be vigilant because he'd actually made a sacrifice a number of years ago where his brother needed a kidney.
Yeah.
So he gave him one of his kidneys. Mm. So he was also in the at-risk category. So I just think the Panthers, they got that one wrong and they're kidding themselves if they think that people are going to call it out for being nepotism.
To jumping on a video and dancing, the leadership.
Yeah, but then what do you stand for,
Gordon? Is that because he's
got
previous stuff?
No, not for previous stuff. It's because if he's going to be in that group.
Can I tell you something?
Yeah.
Well, what I found very interesting was the day the NRL announced the penalty, which was for Nathan, a $10,000 fine, which was really four.
60% suspended.
Which was really four, and a one-week suspended sentence. Greg Alexander went on Fox League that night and said, I was actually surprised he didn't get a suspension and a longer suspension out of this.
Games.
Mm. Yeah. Games. He said he's surprised he didn't get suspended for games. So that's where his mind took him to. He'll get suspended for games for this. He's on the Penrith board.
Yeah.
That has done nothing to Nathan Cleary.
I know, Gordy, I hear what you're saying in relation to, you know, it's only a video on social media and all of that. And in under normal circumstances, it's rat's ass. Like, seriously, it's not a big deal. But we're not in normal circumstances at the moment. And I just think there's already this perception that, and I'm not saying, you know, look, Nathan is a very talented young bloke and he's going to go a long way in the game and he's a good style of a bloke and he's not somebody who normally gets himself into, you know, unwanted headlines off the field. But
it's
in this instance, he's done the wrong thing. And when his old man's
different.
A coach, that's right.
Absolutely,
it just sets
mate. That's
a bad
your blood
precedent.
Sitting there. There's no way that when I'm watching my son's play, I look at him different to every other player. It happens.
Yep.
It happens. And then I remember my dad coaching me in under 14s, and he was harder on me. And I remember.
But you know what, like, the onus there, Gordy? The onus there is you look at Johnny Lang and Martin Lang.
Yep.
Martin Lang never put his father in a position where he had to do something like that.
Yep.
The onus is on the player.
Good point.
And we've seen that in other instances with fathers and sons around the game. The son's never put his father in a position where the father's had to make a tough call or compromise his own standards.
Yeah.
Speaking of Johnny and Martin Lang, I remember one day, Rugby League Week, Journo wrote an article. It was quite critical of Marty, and Johnny Lang rang him up, and they reckon it was an absolute world champion bake. Yeah, when Langy wanted to go off, like everyone sort of looks at Langy and thinks, "I'm mild mannered and, you know, real character, and just one of the good blokes in the game." But when he wanted to go Burger,
he is a good guy, mate. Because when I was working with Langy at South, he taught me a hell of a lot, and I thought we were getting a rough end of the deal. And I said, "That referee there, look at this. I cut it up." He goes, "So if I ring him, what's that referee going to do to us next time? Tell me, if I tell someone that they're wrong and I point out all their faults, how's that going to make him feel? And next time he referees us, is that going to help us?"
Good life lessons, Gordon.
Yes, good stuff.
Mate, I walked out of the room, I'm thinking, Langy, I wish you were in my head when I was telling Bill Harrigan, calling him every time of the when I was telling Stephen Clark that you're too slow. Mate, you need to get back and start doing some fitness.
Well, I gave you a career, Gordon. So.
Boys, what we might do now,
thanks, Paul.
Saturday Sinbin, what I might do now, get you to call up 133353, and we might turn the discussion around to this thing about if you haven't read the telly today, and it's in the media, this report about the NRL quite possibly going back to one referee for the remainder of the season. A couple of reasons for that. One is to save money. 133353, do you think it's a good idea or a bad idea, Hoops?
It's not quite possibly, Anthony. It's happening, isn't it, Kenty? It's got to be rubber stamped by the commission.
Oh, look, I think it's going to happen.
The way it's been reported, this isn't something that they're just dipping their toe in the water about. This is happening. They need to cost cut out of NRL headquarters. There's been a hell of a lot of money invested in the bunker and the refereeing ranks over the course of the last 5-6 seasons. And as a result, this is going to be one of the sacrifices.
Well, this is one of those things that gets our listeners really fired up. And I can see right now that the lines are going berserk. 133353, what do you think about the idea of going back to one referee, Hoops?
I'll tell you what else has been going berko as well, Anthony, is your poll. It is going absolutely mental. Yeah. It is flying. So we'll get back to that when we come back after a break.
And a quick happy Mother's Day too. Hopefully we'll get to talk about that a little bit later on. But if you're a mum, a grandmother, or make sure you look after mum tomorrow, it's going to be a big day. We're going to do it a bit differently, but it's going to be a big Mother's Day. 133353, give us a call as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king. Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back, and we've got plenty to get through this afternoon. Before we go any further, though, the news today is that the rugby league, the NRL, will look at going back to one referee. It's just about rubber stamped for the remainder of the season, a way to cost cuts. But ever since we've had two referees and we've had the bunker and we've had the video referee, it feels like to me it's only ever created more problems. But I think if we went back to not having that, then we'd know how lucky we are now.
Gordy, you're quite strong on this. What do you think will be the result of going back to just the one referee?
Well, if everybody can remember, there was always the hand on the play of the ball, those 50-50 decisions when you're getting up and then the referee would walk because there's so much for him to look at. He's got to try to get you one side. So what will happen is, if he polices the ruck, they'll be back 8 metres or 9 metres. If he gets them back 10 metres, there'll be hands on the ball and it'll be a slow play the ball. People forget how much grey there was around play the ball area, how much they were wrestling. And then they got the pocket referee to make sure he was in there, getting them off, tidying up the ruck, and he was back there keeping the players back 10. If players didn't want to break the rules, I'd say go for one referee. But I don't think that'll happen week in, week out. I think that sides would complain more, and you'd see a press conference every week with a coach complaining about the referee.
I agree. I think you've got to be careful what you wish for there.
133353. Let's see what our listeners think. Let's go to Wilberforce. Danny boy, it's all yours. What do you think about this talk about going back to one referee?
Well, I reckon it's a good idea. But the thing is, though, if you're going to go back to one referee, stop scrutinising him over the TV all the time.
Yeah, well said,
Danny.
If
he makes a choice...
So you won't blow up, Danny, if he gets a decision wrong against your team?
Hey, look at cricket. When people...
I'll ask you a question, Danny. It's a simple one. You won't blow. If he misses a knock-on that the opposition did, your team gets beat on the bell, you're not going to blow up?
But that's what the ref said. Is the ref biased? I don't know. But
well,
it
no,
makes
the
a better
answer is
game,
no.
Though,
so you're already starting to waver here, Danny.
No, I'm not at all. No. I'd rather one ref, two linesmen who know what they're doing, right?
Like
because
there.
At the moment, when you spend 5 minutes watching the game and someone's going through video, just looking at possibilities, right? And then all of a sudden it's on a second call, not millisecond call. Yeah, it takes the excitement out of the game. Like, just cut your losses and walk away.
I agree. I agree with your sentiment, Danny, but you're not going to stop people complaining. People whinge. You know, I don't know who they are, but they whinge just out of habit.
133353. You know anything about that, Paul? Or
No, nothing. Look, okay. That's human nature. The fact is people will complain.
I'll tell you what, though. You know, we watch now that all the retro games are showing on Fox League. The older games, you know, the 90s games, the 80s games, player scores, referee points the spot. I do too.
It's a lot cleaner, wasn't it, the style of football,
and
especially around the ruck.
The thing is, the problem the game has is the minute a referee allows, for example, a player to get up with to play the ball and the tackler's got his hand on the ball, the coach will see that and he'll send in 50 clips of the hand on the ball, why are they allowed to do this? So the referees will then say, well, it's a crackdown or whatever. Then they'll go out, and the minute there's one that gets through, they'll argue that the referee's inconsistent, not doing his job. Or if the referees start to say, look, we don't think it deems a penalty, just that. He brushed his hand against the ball, didn't really deem a penalty. What they will then do is they'll say, well, okay, they'll start coaching their players to put their hands all over the ball. Because, and the minute the referee says, mate, you're making a laugh of it now, penalty, don't do it again. The coach then goes and gets another 50 clips of it not being penalised and says, why weren't these penalised and yet my guys got penalised? Mm. That's why. And you know what the referees do? They wet their pants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Mm-hmm. And they sit there and they go, oh, we better respond to that. We need to be more consistent. The greatest rod the referees made for their back was to say they're going to be consistent every week, because they can't be consistent in interpretation. People interpret things differently, and teams have different motivations and different approaches to things. So we look at the wrestle now. Look how slow the tackle is now because of the wrestle. We do that because we had to start placating coaches. Oh, okay, well, that's not a penalty. If he grabs him now, as long as we see movement, that indicates he's trying to get up. So coaches started to teach their players to spin around like a hand on a clock. Mm. So they're moving, but they're not actually trying to get up. Now what we're seeing, the latest transition, is that they get tangled up. So as soon as they start to fall, they put their legs in, they tangle, they wrap their legs in amongst the tackle player's legs. Therefore, and they're trying to get out, and as the tackle player moves his leg one way to get out of the entanglement, the tackler moves his leg the same way, so they stay tangled up, and they both look like they're trying to untangle. They're conning the referee, and we all sit there knowing it's going on, and they don't fix it. And then the minute you say, mate, you're taking the piss here, it's a penalty, the coach then sends in 50 other examples where they got tangled up and they didn't get penalised. And the NRL goes, oh, okay, yeah, you're right. Okay, no more penalties about that. So what ends up happening? More entanglements. It's just a joke.
All right, 133.53. There you go. Let's go to Mulgoa now. Calm down, fella. Your food will be here shortly. Let's go. Let's go to Mulgoa. What do you say, Donnie?
Listen. My point of view on this change in the rules in the game. We've already started the season. All right. We've been through enough change at the moment. Everyone, you, us, everyone. Okay. Let's try and simple. Leave it the way it is. Let's get back to some. Some normality. Put some normality in. That's what we want to see. At the moment, we still can't do this. We can't do that. Why go changing? The players are stuck right at the moment. They're following rules. They've got to follow rules off the field now with what's going on. As this situation, as the famous word quoted, fluid, everything's changing. Let's get back to some normality. Leave the game the way it is. We've started the season. Let's go. Come on, put it back on. Let's get some normality back to our lives.
Good on you, Donnie.
Simple as that.
Well said,
Simple
mate.
Simple as that. I don't want to see change. I want my life back the way it was.
Yeah, me too. 133.53. Thanks, Donnie and Mulgoa. Let's now go across to Mount Druitt, where John, and now if you've just joined us, we're talking about this business about the possibility of going back to one referee when the season resumes. What do you think of that, John?
Yeah, I want it to happen. Like, you know, it's as much as the two referee system's been around, and to go with what Gordy said about players in the ruck, well, we've got that much technology now. Why can't we just have a camera that follows the ruck 24/7, that relays it back to the bunker that watches the game 24/7, and then the bunker can be in the ear of the single referee and say, hey, you've got your hands on the ruck there, we can go back to there.
Nothing can possibly go wrong there, John.
Hey?
I said nothing can possibly go wrong there.
Oh, well, you look at what situation we're in at the moment, Kenji. And nothing could go wrong in our world. We're currently living in World War III chemical warfare. I'm happy for it. But, you know, you got a $6.5 million hole that you've got to try to find because of what's been going on. And unfortunately, you know, referees being paid $100,000, they're going to look at cost cutting there. The only fallout that happens there will be that the part-time referees that are touch judges that do this on a part-time basis. Yeah. And don't get paid full time, we'll end up possibly without a job because they'll end up putting the referees that don't make the mustard in the middle to the sidelines.
Good on you, John. Well said. 133.53. I tell you what, the western suburbs of Sydney have gone absolutely berserk over this issue. Let's go to Glenbrook now. Henry, the discussion about one referee when the NRL returns, what do you think?
Yeah, I like it. I reckon, you know, strip it back as much as possible. I even reckon you could get rid of the video ref and put the onus back on the captains a bit, you know, maybe give them more captain's challenges. And then that way, you know, at the end of the game, if there's a clanger, you got no one to blame but your captain, you know, for using up all the challenges. Just let the ref do their best.
I've been advocating that for years. I think we just minimises the influence of the video referee on the spectacle.
What, you want to have more captain's challenges?
No. I don't think we allow the referee to go to the video ref at all. It's all captain's challenge, and it's only in try scoring situations.
Yeah. So the ref can't call it, but I reckon if you give it to the captains, you let them sort of make the decision. It might be a bit more tactical as well because they may concede a try early on. But they may just, you know what, let's get on with it. Let's keep the momentum going because we'll get them back sort of thing. You know, we won't constantly go onto the video ref all the time.
Yeah.
All right, Henry. Good call, mate. Thank you very much to all our callers there. You all get a single ticket to a Gold Coast Titans game when the footy resumes.
So the irony of all this.
So are you going to buy those, Anthony, for all those callers?
I was only having a joke here.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. Right. Sorry, Paul.
So the irony of all this, I don't care whether you've got one referee, video referee, two referees. Until they actually sort out their interpretation and application of the rules, it's all irrelevant.
Mm.
And as I said, the game has become this bastardized version because we've allowed interpretation to take over. Back in the day, you threw a forward pass, it was a penalty to the opposition. Then we started saying, well, you know what? He threw it accidentally, though. He didn't mean it to go forward.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll bring in the accidental forward pass. That's now a scrum. Yeah, you know, we bring in all these modifying rules.
Mm.
And what happens is if everybody acted with best intentions, that'd be great. But the minute you start to get these modifying rules, coaches start to say, well, they're now allowing us to do this, so we're going to do it. So suddenly they're all flat passes. So suddenly referees, was it a forward pass or a flat pass? Coach is going to argue after the game, it's flat pass. I'll let it go as a flat pass. We've got all these interpretations, and where they really foul it up is in the ruck, because the game is won and lost in the ruck. So the opposition, the defence is trying to slow it down as much as possible. The attack's trying to speed it up as much as possible. Both teams are doing it, and we've lost our way in the ruck. So then, because we've lost our way in the ruck, the defence is always set. So we've had to come up with these manufactured ways now to actually make breaks in the game. So we run all these block plays, we run all these different shapes you've got to run. We're losing our way. Why? Because the referees, who should be separate from the NRL and who should just be told to go and referee the game, and when they tell it that when they get 50 video cuts from a coach after the weekend's game, they should tell the coach to jam it up his backside. They're not even going to look at him, and they should just keep. They should just go on with it.
Well, it goes back to Hoops' argument, the forward pass thing about if there was a fly in the car and the car was doing 80 kilometres an hour and your driver hit the brakes,
throw me into
would the
bus
fly
here,
hit
mate.
The front windscreen or the back windscreen?
No,
he wouldn't move.
He'd hit the back windscreen.
No, he doesn't. He
hang
wouldn't.
On. If a fly was in a car,
yes,
flying freely in the car,
yes,
the car's doing 80 kilometres an hour,
yes,
the guy driving the car hits the brakes, yes, would the fly hit the front windscreen or the back windscreen?
Neither.
How do you work that out?
Because the atmosphere in the air is something with the atmosphere in the chamber of the car cabin that it's unaffected. The fly is not heavy enough to be affected
right.
by it. Because after you idiotically said it last time, me being me,
I went and
looked at it. I went and tried to find the answer to it.
You tell him, Mr. Sheen.
So,
right.
Look, that's the answer, that's Anthony. Good. So the fly is not a big enough. It does not have enough weight to be able to be thrown. Theoretically, it would hit the in your head.
What
the
is back it?
Hit the back windscreen, but. The fire's not big enough to do it.
All right. Well, that settles
another
that.
One you got wrong, you palooka.
James.
So you've got no other quiz. But you got no other trick shot, Maroon. Look at
mate,
you.
I've got a mate, million of them, words. Mate. I've got a million of them. I'm at home all day working these things out, working out what annoys me and what doesn't annoy me. Hoops.
I do a bit of that.
Gordy, tell us, Maroon, we'll come back. We'll say goodbye to Kenty and we'll continue on as Triple M rocks the footy.
The Triple M Saturday Sin Bin for King G, where comfort is king.
Triple M rocks footy.
Welcome back to it. We've got our final hour coming up, and a big hour it will be too, as we get closer and closer to the resumption of play in the NRL. Of course, Triple M will be there. We'll be there at all those games we normally call, plus Origin, plus the finals, plus the grand final. So the TV networks might be arguing about who's calling what and when. We'll just be just doing our own little thing. We'll be calling all those games, Origin, grand final. You can get it all right here on Triple M. Next hour, we talk about Bulldogs recruitment. Is Joshy Reynolds going back? We'll talk the grand final we forgot about is an interesting one. I won't tell you which one it is yet. Just before we go any further, our phone poll, Maroon's poll, 60% of people say I do look like Billie Jean King. 40% of people say I look like Carol Baskin's husband on The Tiger King. Who likes The Tiger King? I couldn't watch it all. All those nonsense.
Annoyed me.
Yeah, annoyed me too. Isn't that guy a creep?
Yep.
Oh, whack job. Isn't he a complete creep, that job. Guy? God help us. Before you go, I have another question here that I'd like to ask you. Because what I'm at home all day at the moment, doing nothing. There's nothing
right.
to do.
Right.
You can't chase up business. You can't do anything. Christine's not there. It's just me at home with the dog.
The only difference is you can't tan yourself like you do all summer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You're right. Stuck indoors. And I thought this is a good question. I'd like to ask an actor this, but I only know a couple of actors. I know Matty Nable, who you guys probably see now and then. He's a fine Australian actor. And I know Roger Corsa. So I know these blokes personally. If I seen them, I'd ask them the question. But I never see them. So if you see Matty Nable, could you ask him this? Mm. When they're making a TV show or a movie and the phone rings or the doorbell rings, does the phone actually ring or do they say to the actor, just gibber on for a couple of minutes and then pretend the phone rang?
I believe they add the noise later.
Right.
Yes.
So they say to Matty Nable, mate, you just gibber away.
Yes.
And then pretend the phone rang.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yes. And not only that, they do other things like glass breaking or a door shutting.
Footsteps.
Footsteps. They are all added in after in the mix.
Because you went to that thing at Fox in LA. I've been to that thing too where they show you how they do the sound effects.
You mean Universal Studios?
Universal Studios,
I've been there a couple of times, Look, they do that, but that's to get the sound right. because often if they're just doing it and they're recording it on set, it's too muffled or too far away to be picked up, so the noise isn't there. So that's quite an easy one, Anthony. I'm surprised you spend nights thinking about that.
Well, I think what this conversation's just confirmed, Paul, is that Anthony has far too much time on his hands. It's official. And yeah, the results for this poll, I'll just reiterate them again. It's gone Burko.
Yeah.
It's gone absolutely Burko. More than 2,000 respondents.
60% saying I look like Billie Jean King.
60% BJ King.
40%.
That means there's 1,200 people who think you've got Billie Jean King.
40%.
Wow. I'm 1,201.
40% Carol Baskin's husband off the Tiger King. And then there have also been some strong
Dick Smith,
suggestions of Dick Smith as well. Yep. And and then that fellow's cousin, Beryl.
Oh,
yeah, mate, but what about the late one come in, Dr. Carl?
Dr. Carl. Yeah, I must say that was a bit left field because he's a baldy Dr. Carl, but you have had a couple of Dr. Carl references too.
Not all people with glasses look the same, right? You know what I mean? Not all bald people look the same.
It's a stereotype.
It's exactly what it is. Look, I'm going to take a break now, Paul. You can knock off now, mate. You can go and have the rest of the day
off. Had a solid day, yeah.
We'll come back and we'll talk about the Doggies, you Doggies fans. Where do they go from here? The grand final we forgot about. Mm. Looking forward to doing that. That's all coming up as Triple M rocks the footy.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.